Psalm 20. And I want to teach you how to pray for one another. Psalm 20. How to pray for one another. Look at there. When you found Psalm 20, I've got two other scriptures to find. Hebrews 7:25 first. Forgive me, I had you go to Psalm 20, but I should have had you go to Hebrews first. Hebrews 7:25. I want to show you a couple of things tonight. Like I promised Myra, I'd want to be a blessing. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. And I want you to see some great truths, some really eye-opening things tonight. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore, he is able." Boy, I wish, all I need to do is just read those three words, and that does good, doesn't it? I was reading a lot of the Bible. If you take it in small chunks, it'll blow you away. First Corinthians 10:13 says this. It says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." Then it says three words. "But God is faithful." Boy, just hold on to that for a little while. Here, it says, "He is able." And but it didn't stop there. It says, "He is able also to save them to the uttermost." Somebody once said it this way, "From the uttermost to the guttermost, God is able to save." Save them who come unto God by Him, seeing, understanding, knowing, He ever liveth to make intercession for them. What is intercession? Somebody raise your hand. What does intercession mean? Prayer. Praying for someone else. Praying about their needs. "He ever liveth to pray for me." I am blown away when I think about Jesus taking time to pray for me. Now, we're going to get into that. Romans chapter 8 now. Go back to the left, find Romans chapter 8. And I want you to know something tonight. One of the greatest privileges that you will ever have is not to preach. Graham's had the privilege of preaching, haven't you? John has had. Dan's preached this morning very well. Who else has had a privilege? Martin. We've had Bozzy and different people had the privilege of preaching. But the greatest privilege you'll have, next to just being a servant, but one of the fashions of a servant, the greatest privilege is to pray for someone. Because, as I need to remind you, there is power in prayer. We're going to talk about it. Evidently, the Lord is praying for us. Now, Romans chapter 8 here, in verse 34, and who is he that condemneth? Somebody wants to point their finger at you and find your faults and point them out and condemn you. Well, guess what? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God right now, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, the devil's a good fault finder, isn't he? He knows you. He doesn't have to make anything up, does he? He is able to come up with all of your sins and able to remind God of all your sins. But guess who's at God's right hand, interceding and deflecting those accusations and absorbing all of those accusations because he died. Somebody's able to condemn you? Well, he paid for it, amen? Jesus paid for it. He ever liveth to make intercession. So, I want to talk to you about praying for one another and how to pray. This chapter is meant to teach us how to pray for one another. Historically, it's going to apply to Israel. As they head into battle and David pens these words before he stands out and with a booming voice prays for every one of those men as they head off to battle the Philistines. Historically, that is the context that he's writing these words down before he prays. Practically, for everyday life, it applies to a believer who also needs prayer and is going to need prayer by other believers. But it also has a hint of Christ praying for us. See, from his vantage point, he, like David, sees the battle that was ahead and he said, "We need to pray." And our Savior intercedes for us when we don't even know what we need. And you know, there are times when you're going in and you're facing a battle and you don't even know what you get into. You got to realize the Lord's already way ahead of you, and He's interceding for you. So there's a lot here tonight. Jesus is our mediator. Amen? How many mediators are there between God and men? One. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Not Mary. There's no other intercessors. As a matter of fact, David says this. He says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" No one else that we look to. There's no one else we talk to in heaven. I hope your dear grandmother's in heaven, but don't talk to her because she's not going to talk back. All right? Jesus is our mediator, our prayer partner in the ministry. And I'm going to show you. He prayed for us in John 17, didn't he? He said, "I pray not for them," talk about the world, "I pray for those who will believe." He prays for us. And he prayed for Peter in Luke chapter 22. He says, "Satan wants to take you apart bit by bit, but I prayed for you." I thought Jesus would say, "But I have defended you. I'm going to stand out there and beat off the devil." No, he said, "I have prayed." Evidently, prayer is powerful. "I prayed for you." That's cool. So this evening, let's talk about prayer. Father, would you just help us this evening to value prayer. If Jesus, the Son of God, prays, what a thought. Shouldn't we? And if He prays for others, so should we. Would you encourage your people tonight and meet with us? Transform us so that we don't have the ritual of prayer, but we have the richness of prayer for Christ's sake and for souls' sake and for each other's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy 2:1. 1 Timothy 2:1. Let's start off with Miss Shane. 1 Timothy 2:1. I like getting everybody reading. It's a good thing. And we'll get to Psalm 20. Go ahead and forget Psalm 20 for a minute. We'll get to it in a second. I got to lay some groundwork. 1 Timothy 2:1. And listen to Paul's command here.
"I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions. I'm giving of thanks to be made for all men."
So we should be praying, supplicating, interceding for how many people? Have you prayed for everybody that's in your scope, in your frame of reference? You meet somebody, you haven't met them in 20 years. You know what the Lord ought to do? I know the Lord is reminding you by bringing somebody in your path and saying to pray for them. You say, "Why'd I run into them? I haven't seen them in 20 years. It's to remind you to pray for them, I betcha. There are times when you're getting in your car and you need to just pray for your wife and family. Maybe they're staying back in the house, or maybe they're getting in the car and you need to pray for them. We're supposed to pray for everybody. Amen. Now, I don't know everybody, but the people I know about, I need to pray for. Amen. There ought to be nobody that I don't pray for, including your enemies. Christians need prayer. I know we need to pray. Amen. Isn't that true? But we need prayer. We always think we need things. "Dear God, I need a job. Dear God, I need my health. Dear God, I need a girlfriend. Dear God, I need a car." We always think of things that we need when we're praying, amen? But you know the thing that you need more than anything? You need to pray. You need prayer. Christians need real Bible-believing, real God-trusting prayer. Go to Luke 22, and who's next? You want to try it? You don't have your Bible. All right, Sarah, you don't have your Bible? You borrow his. All right, Luke 22:31-32. Look at the confidence that Jesus had when Peter was facing all of the confusion of the cross. Luke 22:31-32.
"And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren."
I like how he says, "when thou art converted." What could he have said if you and I had prayed? "If thou art converted." That's how we know. Well, Lord, if it's going to happen. Do you remember Doris Day? How many of you remember Doris Day? Come on, we're dating ourselves. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. That's not what a Christian believes. See, a Christian prays and then trusts it's going to happen. Amen? Real believing prayer. The Bible tells us to pray for one another. I bet you've forgotten some of these verses. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Brother Jim, 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Listen to Samuel in his old age. As he's getting ready to step aside and let Saul take over and lead Israel, they're afraid of saying, Saul, and what are you going to do? Samuel, we've known you all your life. What's going to happen now that you're stepping down? Listen to what he says.
Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and seek prayer to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way.
Wow. He said it would have been a sin if he had retired and stopped praying for Israel. He said, woe is me. If when I step down and I let Saul become king, he said, it would be a sin for me to stop praying for all of you. It is so important for us to pray for one another. Let's look at another one. Find 1 Thessalonians, Brother Graham, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 25. Husbands, are you praying for your wife?
Say, I prayed for her last month.
No wonder she's mad at you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 and then 25.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body to preserve blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. He starts off and he says, I pray that every part of you, down to your toenails, stays clean and godly. Amen? And then he says, and would you pray for me too? That's cool. That's cool. Let's go to another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Miss Gina. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 11. Sometimes we're going to bed and Nita will say, I'm worried about so-and-so. Can we pray for him? And the greatest privilege is take her by the hand and we start to pray for somebody that's just laid on her heart. Or I'll say, you know, I'm kind of burdened about so-and-so. And we just start to pray for people that come under our heart. You need to get in the habit of that where the Lord puts somebody in your heart and you just immediately go, let's pray for them. Go ahead, Gina. Wow. So before we ever need money as a church, before we ever need workers to help build the building and fix it, all that stuff, Paul say was needful for that church? Praying and praying together. You see how the whole thing, I'm not quite there yet. I was in the wrong chapter. The whole 111 there. Helping together by prayer. I mean, there's going to be some times when we're going to get some big cross beams and we're going to be dropping what are these things up here called? Plasterboard and putting lights and we're all going to be helping together holding them up, right? Right? Come on, you will be helping, amen. We'll all be helping together, but before we ever get there, we better be helping together in prayer. That's the point. Helping together in prayer. Look at another one. Ephesians 6:18. Miss Ruth. It's nice having her home. Ephesians 6:18 and verse 19. For who? For all saints. How many of you prayed for me tonight before I preached that God would give me utterance and open my mouth and get this word into your heart? Amen. One. Amen. She got a reward. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. and for me. Don't forget about me, he said. Amen. Very, very important challenge tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, John. 2 Timothy 4 in verse 16. So instead of him going, God, get them, he says, I pray that it would not be to their charge. They wouldn't be punished for it. He's praying for everybody, isn't he? Paul prayed. Philippians 1:9. Emeril, Philippians. Go back a few pages to Philippians. A couple books. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. So he says, this is my prayer request for you, Philippians. He says that your love may abound yet more and more. He's got a good attitude about praying for others, doesn't he? All right. I could talk to you about Jesus. He spent all of John chapter 17 almost praying for the disciples and for the disciples to come. Moses in Numbers 21 says, I will pray for you. He knew how much trouble Israelites got in, and he said, you don't know how many times I have prayed for you. But if you will, go to Matthew 5:43. Mark, this is Mark's last time with us, by the way.
Well, until the summer.
Until the summer. All right, good. Amen. He has become part of the furniture, so I'm going to miss him. Matthew 5, verse 43 and 44. Watch how the Lord tells us to treat our enemies. We're supposed to treat them nice, but I bet we don't pray for our enemies. I bet we don't. It's one thing to tolerate them, isn't it? It's another thing to actually pray for them. I've prayed against some people, haven't you? That's kind of bad. But have you prayed for them? Go ahead there, Mark. Wow. Pray for them. Don't just mention their name. Ask God to bless them. What does it do to them? It puts coals of fire on their head. I'm sorry. James 5:16. Brother Kevin. James 5:16. Prayer does four things. It always does at least four things. Let's see a couple of them here in James 5:16. Wow. So we need to, if I have a fault and I've hurt you, I should confess to you I did wrong. Amen? Am I confessing my sin to him? No. We confess our sins to who? To God. But if I have a fault, even if somebody actually points out, Pastor, you have a fault, I should go, you're right, I never saw that. Thank you. Amen. Then what should we do? Then that person who's pointed out my fault just said, listen, I've been praying for you. Pray for one another. That ye may be what? Everybody's all into healers. That Bible right there tells you how to get healed, how to get a lot of things fixed in your life. Not everything gets fixed this way. Job will tell you that. But if there are problems in your life that just won't go away, it'll be nice for you to get honest and real with somebody else that you've been have a bad attitude against, or maybe you just need to talk and say, I've just got these faults. And you go and get some accountability partner who gets you to talk to somebody that you've hurt, and you get it right. And then that person you've hurt, if they're saved, if you want real revival, that person you've hurt will turn around and pray for you, that you may be healed. That is fundamental Christianity. This fancy show of everybody coming around and trying to lay hands on and trying to do miracles, it's a fraud. Real Christianity is broken and humble and right with each other. So the first thing I want to say that prayer does is it will always humble believers. It's very humiliating to go to Kathy and say, Kathy, I've had a bad attitude about you. Because I know she'll hit me. I know she's praying for me. It's very humbling to go to your wife when you're the man. You know, I'm the man. And go to your wife and say, sweetheart, I have been dense and stupid. She says, keep going. Amen. It's very humbling, isn't it? And did you know you can't pray unless you're humble? Did you just get that? You cannot pray until you are low. Because God resists the proud. So if you've got a problem with somebody, before you even come and bring your gift to the altar, Jesus said, go and get right with somebody. Amen? Prayer will always force you to humble yourself. Secondly, it will always invite God into a problem. You're actually saying, Lord, I need you. Please come. We expect a God to just come on in. He doesn't come unless he's invited. How many people does it take to bring revival? Just one. To invite God in. Amen? It only takes one. All right? And prayer always is an invitation. God, please show yourself mighty. At least I want to see it. Amen? That's the working of prayer. Thirdly, it tunes us. When you're praying, it makes you quiet enough to listen to him talk back. That's what real prayer is. Prayer is a two-way communication. My sheep hear my voice. Have you listened to his voice lately? Fourthly, it activates God's will. When you're praying, prayer is faith, isn't it? And it starts God moving because God loves faith. When somebody sent for Jesus, Jesus wasn't already on his way to the... He knew who was looking for him, didn't he? But he waited for them to send somebody to come get him or for them to ask him, amen? Jesus was already capable of going to find the centurion. Wouldn't it have been cool? The centurion wakes up, finds out his servant is sick, and there's somebody knocking at the door. Hi, I'm Jesus. I know your servant is sick. I have come to heal him. That's what we expect God to do, right? But Jesus waits for us to say, Lord, I need you. Amen? That is where he says, now I'm coming. All right. Why should we pray for one another? Let's go into Psalms and let's talk about this. Psalm 20 and verse 1. Be surprised what you'll learn in the book of Psalms. Let's just look at a couple of things before we really get into it. I want to show you why we should pray for one another before we talk about how we should pray. Verse 1, now I'm just going to read down to verse 4. Actually, down to verse 5. Listen to how it's written. It's not written like David normally writes. So David would write, Lord, help! He would talk to God. But listen to how he talks now. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. And then he finishes, he says, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now, David is sort of changed his tone. Instead of him talking to God, he's talking to the troops. He's talking to the people. And he's saying, I'm praying that the Lord hears your prayer. I'm praying that the Lord helps you. Amen? So, why should we pray for another? Because we're usually headed into trouble. You know what I know? Trouble's on its way. Amen? You're going to smack right into it someday time this week. Amen? So, that's why we pray for one another. Christians need prayer because if you're not in a valley, you're headed into one. Amen? If you're not facing a wall, you've either just come through one or you're having a little bit of break before another one comes. You pray and you need prayer because you're usually, almost always, headed into trouble. Secondly, we need protection. Does the devil like Christians? He does not. He walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may. Is devoured. Does devour mean nibble? No. We need protection. We need help. If there's anything that I worry about, it's the next generation of Christians growing up thinking it doesn't take anything to be a Christian. thinking that it's easy being a Christian. Thinking that, you know, if I just have a Bible, I go to church. Do you know what Christianity is? It's a fight. It's a battle. It's a battle against the flesh. It's a battle against the past. It's a battle against fears. And if we don't get God's help on a daily basis, we're a wipeout. That's what I know. I'm saved 31 years. That doesn't mean that it gets any easier. There's a fight going on. Every one of us wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against the flesh. We wrestle against the world. We wrestle against the devil. It's a fight all the time. And we need help. Because in the flesh, I'm doomed. Amen? We need help. I will lift up Psalm 121, beautiful psalm. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. Oops. My help cometh from the Lord. See, at first he starts off and he says, I'm looking everywhere for help. And he remembers, my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. All right, we need help. We need strength. You're going to run out of strength sometime this week. That's why we meet again on Wednesday. We fill up again, amen? We get together, we pray, and we read the Bible, and we study, because by Wednesday, we run out of gas, amen? We need strength. We are His people. John 17, we don't have time. John 17 says, I'm praying for thy children. For people who have been born into His family. And there's a big reason why we pray for one another, because we need answers to prayer. How many of you need an answer to prayer right now, man? You need 10 dozen of them, amen. We should pray for one another because somebody else needs answers to prayer just as much as you do. And I'm going to balance this thing out. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Often, here we are. Are you ready? Often, people will come to me and say, Pastor, pray for me. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. But what we have is we have an attitude where we think that a holy man can pray for you. Or if not a holy man, a preacher can do some miracle for you. And there's nothing wrong with getting somebody to pray for you, because that's what I'm teaching tonight. But let me say, don't leave it to the top muckety-mucks. Christianity is all about going to Eric and getting him to pray for you. Going to Paul and getting to pray. Going to Marlene and say, Marlene, would you pray for me? This week I got a really tough week. Christians praying for one another. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. Don't expect some great performer to pray for you. Your pastor will pray for you. You come and you ask me to pray for you, I'll pray for you. But I want us to learn to pray for one another. Amen? Now, how to pray. Let's go back through this thing. I want you to see how to pray for a Christian. Verse 1 tells us right off, ask God to hear their prayers. Listen again to verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. May the Lord hear him. When was the last time that you prayed that somebody else's prayers would get answered? See, what we have is we have our list and we have our needs and we're wondering, why aren't they getting met? And the Lord says, how about praying for somebody else's for a minute? Did you know the most important... come back here. The most important goal, and you need to remember this, because this will be at the end of the lesson tonight, it'll be a quiz. The most important goal of prayer is to be heard. Why do we say that? 1 John 5:14 says, we know that if He hears us, we have the petition wherewith we have answered. Go to 2 Corinthians 7:14. Let's see, Brother Tony. Go back to the left, find 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7. Not Corinthians, that's New Testament. Chronicles is Old Testament. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, one after another. These are the newsreels of the day. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Tony, give everybody just a few more seconds to catch up. Second Chronicles. If you find Kings is the next book after 1 and 2 Kings, comes 1 and 2 Chronicles. If you've gotten to Psalms, you've gone too far, come back. All right, go ahead, Tony. 2 Chronicles, if you haven't found it, just look like you have, all right? Just smile and wave, amen. 7:14.
Mm-hmm.
what was the most, now, the most important goal to the Jews is that their land was wasted, their economy was ruined, but God starts off not by saying, when you pray, I will give you what you want. No, he says, then will I hear from heaven. The most important thing is to get God's ear. Because we get the idea that that God's not listening. But it's not a problem with God not listening. We spend so much time with formalities I pray on Wednesday nights. Well, that's a dumb thing. If you wait until Wednesday night before you're praying, you've missed it and you're probably not going to get any answers to prayer on Wednesday night either. You are wasting your time praying if you're not being heard in heaven. How loud do you have to be heard all the way in heaven, Shane? Not very loud at all. See, the smartest ones are on the front row. Amen. Including Jim. I'll say it again. You're wasting your time praying if you're not being heard. Would that be true? Women, have you ever looked at your husband, talked to him for a half hour, and then realized he wasn't listening? Don't you nod your head. I'd never done that. You're wasting your time. You need to figure out what is blocking God from hearing you. Get it fixed so that God answers. God will not answer what the person that he's not listening to. I thought I'd put some of these things here. Stop here for a second. Go to Psalm 66. And Miss Dina. Psalm 66 and verse 18 and 19. Psalm 66, 18 and 19. Did you know if God is actually, if you have his attention, whatever, getting your request is very easy. Psalm 66, 18 and 19. Go ahead. Wow. So he says, if I love some sin in my heart, God is not going to hear me. But he says, but assuredly, God has heard me and he will attend. He will give me the prayer that I'm asking for. That's a confidence that a Christian needs to have. If there is not an answer to prayer, whose fault is it? Now, I'll also say, it's very simple. 1 John 5:14 also says we need to ask according to his will. He's not a genie and he's not our servant, but we ask. And we've got to get to this place where we start believing that when God is listening, we will get an answer. Sometimes the answer is, like a parent, no. Amen? But we get an answer still. Amen? All right. So pray for others, especially when they're not getting their prayers answered. So what's the first prayer? Ask. If you're praying for Brother Dan, you need to pray, dear God, please hear his prayer. Have you ever prayed that? David just did. David said, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Amen. Secondly, ask God to defend them, protect them. Back there in Psalm 20, he says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God, name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. Christians are in a war. What kind of a war? Against each other, right? Didn't like Graham anyway. No, what kind of a war are we in? A spiritual war. It is just as real as a physical war, isn't it? It's just as deadly as a physical war. But it's in a spiritual realm. We need to ask God to defend them. How many times do we pray, dear God, I'm going through a battle. Please defend me. Please protect me. When was the last time you prayed for somebody else who was going through a spiritual battle? Very humbling. All the Old Testament battles. How many of you read the Old Testament the first time when you were a new Christian? You're reading through and you're going, wow, there's so much fighting in there. Amen? You ever notice that? You know why? Because God's trying to show you. That is just a shadow of the reality of the New Testament. What we think is a normal day, there is a spiritual realm where there are spiritual darts flying around. And you could be going along happy-go-lucky. You're going 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And you're hit, and you don't know where it came from. Spiritual warfare. You didn't go looking for a fight, but somebody got you. You need to pray for God to defend them. Rarely do we realize just how important it is for to be praying for one another. Wives, your husband needs your prayer. Needs you to pray for them whether you like them or not. Amen. Amen. Your kids, you know, need your prayer. Your parents need your prayer. We need to pray for one another because of the spiritual aspect. You need to pray for God to defend them. You say, why hasn't God defended them? He will. But sometimes he steps back and he says, does anybody care to invite me? Pray for them. Pray that God would defend one another. There are people right now, you know about them. You can see them sometimes they're here, sometimes they're not here. Did you pray for them or did you just talk about them? How? Somebody who's not here, somebody who's fallen back, somebody who's backslid, or somebody you have no idea what's going on. You don't even need to know what's going on, but you do need to pray, amen? You need to say, God, defend them. Don't let the devil get another chunk out of their heart. Don't let him get another scar. Don't give them any more victories, amen? Pray for them. Ask God to defend them. Thirdly, ask God to send help. Ask God to send some help. Look at verse 2. Send thee, he's saying, the Lord, send thee help from the sanctuary. Where is the proper sanctuary? Was it in Jerusalem at the time? No, there was no help in the building. Where is God's sanctuary? In heaven. Strengthen thee out of Zion, Zion being another word for heaven. Sometimes instead of, did you know, here God is being asked to protect them, and he's being asked to send them help and strength. But if God is protecting them, I mean, if you've got a child and there's a bully here, I can use Dan as the bully and Marcus as the child, you know. and I could stand up there and I could protect Marcus, you know. But the Lord sometimes says, nope, here comes the devil. And what Marcus needs is not just defense, but he needs strength so that Marcus can take down the bully. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus is going to fight all of your battles all the time. He will fight the ones that you cannot fight. Amen? But there are plenty of times when he says, it's yours today. And you need the strength to wrestle against spiritual wickedness, principalities, and powers. Amen? And you're going to, listen, you need to sometimes pray not only that God defends somebody, but God strengthen them. I see them going down. I see them weak. I see them fading. God, be their strength. Pray for them. I bet you haven't prayed like that in a while or ever. Pray for one another. Pray for strength. Because sometimes the Lord's going to let you say, that's mean. It is not. It's called making us grow up. We're in a war. You do not prepare an army to go out and watch a battle. They go out to fight the battle. Amen? And if you're going to fight, you got to be strong. You got to be quick. You got to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen? So pray for strength and for help. You know, sometimes sometimes you get into a dilemma. You need to pray for strength and help. There was a battle where Israel was surrounded, and God sent some help. Just one angel, just one little old angel. He didn't even have any wings. Didn't have long hair, didn't fly around. He just showed up one night, and 185,000 soldiers of the Midianites died. In the morning, they got up, ready to, the Israeli army got up, and they saw an entire army dead. God sent some help, amen. They couldn't fight it. They were going to be defeated. So God sent some help. He needed to pray. So we're always praying, dear God, help me, help me. Amen, amen. Pray that. But you know, it's nice when somebody prays for you to be strong and to have help. I see Scott here. I don't want to be too rough, but I believe we probably haven't prayed for him enough. Amen. Pray for him to be strong. He needs it. You know what's funny? So do you. We got to get into this habit of praying for one another. Fourthly, look at verse 3. He says this. He says, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah, that's a strange thing to accept their sacrifices. But you know, sacrifice is part of our worship of God. Old Testament sacrifices, listen to this. Old Testament sacrifices purchased a right of access. You couldn't come to God without a lamb. You couldn't come to God without some sort of offering. Did you know that? You just didn't walk up and say, I want to talk to God. Man, there there were armed soldiers there who would make you remember not to ever come that way again. You have to come with a sacrifice. You have to come with an offering. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Let's see. Heriberto. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 19, 20, and 21. Hebrews 10, 19 to 21. Amen.
By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God.
Go ahead, verse 22 as well.
Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of truth, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure blood.
Did you ever question why you end your prayer in Jesus' name? You ever wonder why you say that? Because what you're doing is you're admitting, I needed the blood of Jesus Christ to get access to God. I needed a sacrifice. Amen? And I'm clinging by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm able to go where? Into the holiest of all. Through the veil. Only the high priest could go in once a year. And I get to go in 24/7. Amen? Amen. Pray for someone else to have that kind of access. Pray that when you make a sacrifice, sometimes you made a sacrifice to be in church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. I know you have to make sacrifices. Sometimes you have to make a sacrifice in order to give a gift in the offering. Sometimes you give a sacrifice of your time, like the past two Saturdays. We sacrificed entire Saturdays in order to go out to Limerick. But you know what? If you do it with a wrong heart, a wrong attitude, you're grumbling, oh, we have to go soul winning again. But you went. You know, I did. I said, oh, Lord, I pray. This is what I did. I pray that all the people who made the sacrifice to go on these soul winning trips up to Limerick, I prayed, God, even if they have a bad attitude, please accept the sacrifice. Because usually when we bring our sacrifice, we're grumbling, we're complaining, we're like, oh, I don't want to do this. It's nice when somebody's praying, Lord, make it special anyway. Amen? Pray that sacrifices would be acceptable. How much faith do you have when you do something for the Lord? Somebody ought to pray and say, Lord, make it good anyway. We give usually with very little effort. It's usually not a sacrifice to give. For some people, it's like the pig and the chicken. Saturday morning, out comes the farmer, and the chicken goes, woo, breakfast! Gah! Got a couple eggs, and the pig goes, for you, it's an offering. For me, it's a sacrifice. He's going to make sausage that morning, amen? Eggs and sausage. Anyway, for some of us, it's just an offering. For others, it's just it's a sacrifice. It costs us everything. But for most of us, it really doesn't cost us much to give, does it? Is it really a powerful offering to God? Don't think so. That's why somebody else is praying and saying, Lord, please accept these gifts. Amen? Pray for one another. Pray for one another. It's nice when someone prays for us. And sometimes our feeble attempts to serve God. I pray before I go soul winning. I say, Lord, I'm going to stumble all over my words. I'm going to say stupid things. How many of you have ever said something stupid at the door when you're trying to witness somebody? And you feel so stupid going away. They didn't know you said it stupid. But you're like, oh, man, I can't believe I said that, you know? But you just pray, you say, Lord, please help us as we go, and how awful we say things. I pray somebody still gets saved. Amen. Amen. Ask God to accept the sacrifice. Next one, verse 4. This is cool. Ask God to accomplish their plans. Grant thee. Here David is praying for all of this crowd in front of him. He says, grant all of them in front of him, grant you according to your own heart. How many of you have some things in your heart that you wish you could do, that you want to do, that you need, that in your idea, it's like, this is my plan. I bet you have some plans. I bet you have some goals that are on your heart. You know what God says? Cool. That's okay. As long as you do it for me. God doesn't mind you having some plans. God doesn't have to come out of heaven and say, Ruth, you must marry John. That wouldn't be very fun. Ought to come from our own. Ought to be our own plan. I like John.
I hope you do.
And John goes, I love this girl. We love each other, amen. It's of your own. You ought to realize. They have some plans, amen. We ought to be praying for their plans to succeed, amen. Amen. I'm praying for some of the rest of you to get some plans together, amen. Pray that God would accomplish plans. You know, I pray for Kevin O'Keefe. I think he's got a plan, amen. I'm praying that God would accomplish that plan in Carrigaline. I pray for Keith Hamilton, that God would accomplish his plan. Someone in this room say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm getting ready to start a business. I've got this verse. Grant thee according to thine own heart. What's on your heart? Amen. Have you prayed about it? Do you think it's God's will? Amen. I'm going to pray that God just blesses you and helps you. Amen. That's how we're supposed to pray for one another. You know, God might be more willing to give you what you want when you are more concerned about Him answering someone else's needs first. Say, Lord, I've been praying that You'd help me do this, and You're not answering. The Lord says, aren't you a little selfish? I know you need that, but I'm waiting for you to wake up and pray for somebody else's needs, and then I'll meet yours. Amen. Listen to Paul. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. That's a prayer where Paul's not praying for his needs. He's praying for somebody else's needs. Amen. Amen. Five. And God will give them their requests. The end of verse 5 says this. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. A petition is a request or a prayer request from God. I sometimes feel very grieved. I'll look at my list on a Wednesday night. I'll get down and I'll pray maybe with Dean, or that's very depressing. Or I'll pray with Bozzy, or I'll pray with, you know, somebody else. And I'll look at that thing, pray with Nita, and I'll look through it and I say, dear God, I'm tired of praying for the same things. I'm just being honest with you. I pray, God, that we get these requests answered. God is able. We read that, didn't we? God is able. So I pray, Lord, I don't want the glory. I'm going to pray that the people in this room get answers to prayer. I don't need an answer to prayer. I just need to see answers to prayer. Does that make sense? Amen. And if we just, this is the timing of this chapter. I don't know what God has in store. But I just wanted to take this as a chapter dedicated to challenging us to really pray for one another. And to believe God for some great things. Now, this is not that, this is not all that you can pray or that you should pray. But it is a foundation. Did you know you need to pray for backslidden Christians to fear God? You better pray for somebody who is backslidden. Dear God, give them your fear. They get right with God. You need to pray for Christians who are playing around with sin. It's not in that chapter, is it? That thing's kind of a nice chapter, isn't it? It's really nice about what to pray for. There are some people you need to pray. Dear God, they're playing with sin. I pray they get burned. Amen. And they go, ouch, and they come back. Amen. There's some things to pray. You need to pray for some Christians to get busy and to serve God before it's too late. There is a clock running. Amen. The game is almost over. We've got to make some goals. We've got to do some scoring before the game is out. We need to pray for Christians. But this is a foundation of things to pray for one another. Now there's a confidence of the praying Christian. Look in verse 5 and 6. We will rejoice. Is that a happy verse? We will rejoice in thy salvation. When was the last time you just sat back and said, God, thank you for saving me? How about you? Thank you, God, for keeping me out of sin. Delivering me from trouble. Amen. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our what? That's a military term. In the military, especially a long time ago, now they just wave flags, okay? But if you see us, probably in a sports complex, it's probably the same, where you have a huge, not auditorium, what is it? Arena or stadium. There you are. You got all these nuts with their flags going. One of them's green, the other one's red or yellow or, you know, what are the different colors? Green and blue and all the different county flags and stuff. What are they doing? They're showing their colors. They're showing whose side they're on. You know, as a Christian, we need to stop hiding. I am so grieved of how forward sin is. How forward homosexuality is. I read a 7-year-old. A 7-year-old went up to his dad and said, "I'm gay." And the dad went, "That's wonderful." Writing about it in the Huntington Times, was sitting there saying, "I feel so wonderful about my son being so free to say such things. My heart grieves." 7-year-old should be saying, "I just accepted Jesus into my heart. I want to be clean from this day forward." Amen. We've got to get our banner back up. Amen. We've got to raise and say, "I'm on God's side. I'm on the Bible's side." You know, that kid is going to be praised all the rest of his life. You know what? If that kid had said, "I want to follow Jesus," he'll be persecuted for the rest of his life. Amen. You know what? Let's raise our banner high.
Amen.
We believe in the God who answers prayer. Let's set our banner and says, "We're on this side." Let the world set up their team. Let them attack all they want. But we are on the winning side. I've already read the last chapter. Amen. I snuck a peek. Amen. Show your colors. Show whose side you're on, man. Take your Bible with you to work. Good night. I'm so embarrassed of some of you. If you're a Christian, you say, "My backpack is so full." That 1-pound object puts a muscle on you. Come on. That 1-pound object gets you in more trouble than sin ever did, but it'll be for the right reason. Amen. Fly your banner high. I love singing. I love the old Bible. What are you doing? I'm waving my banner. Amen. Some of you get a neighbor or a friend in here, and maybe some of you invite. Amen. I understand. And they're sitting next to you. We're going to sing, "I love the old Bible." You're like, "I love the old Bible." You know, sing. What are you doing? You're ashamed. You know what I'm praying? God, help them to wave that banner high. Amen. Let them know you're a nut. Just screwed on the right bolt. Amen. So a Bible-believing Christian has great confidence. That's the point here. David says, "We will rejoice." And it's not, we don't tell God what to do. Believe me, folks, too many Christians go around commanding. They command angels, they command their husbands, they command their boss, they command everything around them. They're presuming on God. You know what you do? You better pray, you better ask, and trust. A Bible-believing Christian has great confidence because of God, not because of us. We can't go around saying, you know, "God's in my back pocket." Somebody once said this. There was a book written out. I don't know if they made it a movie or whatever. It's called "God is My Co-Pilot." Anybody find a problem with that? Is he supposed to be in the co-pilot seat? See a problem with that? Wrote a book about it. "God is My Co-Pilot." Kind of bragging on, you know, "I've got God over here. He kind of influences me and kind of helps me along. He should be the one flying, amen. He's the boss, amen." You see, we have confidence not because I have God under control. That's not why we have confidence. But I do know Him. I have His ear. If I phoned up Enda Kenny, do you think He'd talk to me? Who else? If I phoned up Bill Gates, guy who started Microsoft, do you think he'd talk to me? I say, "Bill, this is Craig. We're building a building over here in Ireland. It's going to be awesome. And I need a couple million. I just want to buy the whole block, you know. And do you think he'd give me a quarter of a second? I don't have his ear. But I have his. I have God Almighty's ear. When my heart's right." So, we have confidence because He is mighty. He's the Savior. And thirdly, it says, "We will rejoice." Let's just look at that verse. "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and we will set up our banner." I already talked about that. There's a confidence in that, in David, as he's talking to that crowd. Look at the peace. Two more real quick points. Look at the peace. He says there in verse 7. Let me get back here. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Job, sorry. Probably just as good. But Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. Add to that, some trusted in money. Some still do, don't they? Some trust in economy, some trust in health, some trust in their boss. Some trust in all these different things, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You know, there's a peace that a Christian has. What is it? We know some things. We know. Verse 6, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And I'll give you one guess who his anointed is. Who was talking? David. But David's not referring to himself. Let's go to Psalm 2 and let's see if we can be reminded who the anointed is. Psalm 2. Let's see, Tess. Psalm 2 and verse 6 and 7. All right, it sounds like David is a son that God has begotten. There's a new birth in the Old Testament, if you want to figure that. But it's not quite there. Go down to verse 11. Keep going. So David's not talking about himself. He's talking about somebody else. It's called the Son. And it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Now go back to verse 1 of Psalm 2. Go ahead, Tess. Keep going. All right, now we find out the anointed is somebody called the Son. And the Son has wrath. Who are we talking about? It's Jesus. David didn't know exactly what he was writing about, but he wasn't talking about Solomon. Solomon was one of the nicest guys you ever met. Solomon was passive, man. Solomon never fought a day in his life. It wasn't Solomon that he was talking about. He's talking about the Son of God. The anointed. So when you read in Psalm 20, there where it says, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed, who's referring to? Jesus. You know, the only reason why you have any connection to God, Eric, is because you have a connection to Jesus. Because you kissed the Son, not physically. You don't need a statue to kiss him, do you? But the only reason why you have a connection to God is because you know Jesus Christ. That's the thing. You know it because God hears his Son and his Son is on your side. Amen? Isn't that brilliant? This dumb Gentile you're looking at has no idea how to find God, where he is, how to follow him. But I found out that I could just cry out and ask Jesus to save me and I'm in. I'm grafted in as if I'm a true blue, full-blooded Jew. Amen? That's cool. So we know some things. We know that the Lord saves and takes care of his anointed. We trust. This is the peace that a Christian has. You need to be able to lay down and your wife say, what's going to happen? You say, I know that God is going to take care of us because he took care of Jesus. Yes, Jesus went to the cross, but he got him up again. And the Lord will take us through whatever we're going through and he'll bring us through the other side because of Jesus. We know and we trust. You know, a lot of people... a lot of armies trust jets and helicopters. You know what I trust? Prayer. And a hurley stick. Anyway, that's a joke. It's a good one, though. But we trust in the promise of just God's name. How many of you know his name? How many know his name? I know his name. Now, I know it's Jehovah. Jehovah means the promise keeper. But Jehovah was that's three syllables. It's a big meaning was boiled down to two syllables. Jesus. Same person. And I just know Him. So I rest in His name. At that name, every knee should what? And they will. Amen. And you know what else? The peace of praying. I don't trust in chariots or horses. I trust in the promise of just His name. His name does something. Amen. You ever notice how when you just mention that name, everybody goes sour? People get angry? I know I'm on the right side because it blesses me. It gets me excited. Amen. That name has power, folks. And we win. Look what he says there. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The army that we're fighting against are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. He's got some peace. I got a thought here. Only the fool never calls for help. Only the fool doesn't cry out and say, God, help me. See, we think only the down and outers, the people who lose their money and lose their health and lose their family, only those kind really cry out to God. No, only a fool waits until then before they cry out to God. We ought to get used to realizing not only do we need to pray, but we need to pray for one another. Because a fool would say, oh, this fine group of people, they don't need prayer. We certainly do. Just as desperate as you need prayer, so does Leo, so does Marcus, so does Bozzy, so does Martin, so does Scott, so does Nita, so does Marlene. They need our desire and our determination to pray for one another. The final plea, look at verse 9. Save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call. Now, for years I struggled with this. Who's the king? I found out who he is. When we pray, let's trust that the king will hear us. It's for the king to hear us. Yes, he's the anointed. Yes, he's the son. But you've got to remember who Jesus is. He's the mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. He's the king. We read at the beginning, and just for time I want to finish up, Hebrews 7:25 says, I know it. He ever liveth to make intercession for them that come to him by faith. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost. There we are. Wherefore he's able to save, I thought he is able. He is able to save them to the uttermost, them that come to God by him. For he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You know, again, like I said, the most important thing you need to do when you pray is make sure that God is listening. Because probably when you pray, you're imagining he's too busy. He's not too busy. Or maybe you're thinking, well, maybe I'm not praying in the right direction. You know, all the Muslims pray in one direction. You ever notice that? The Jews try to pray towards Jerusalem. Don't worry about which direction you're praying, okay? Formalities and all the structures. Have you got all the words? Are you saying all the these and thous right? No. See, don't worry about that. Just make sure you're being heard. Amen? Let the king hear us when we call. Would that be your prayer request tonight? Dear God, oh, that you would hear us, that your son would hear us. And you know what's neat? We didn't even talk, we got the Trinity here. Because you know what the Holy Spirit does? You know what the Holy Spirit does? He takes my feeble words, my confused words, my wrong words when I pray, and he translates it so it actually gets to the throne and it actually makes sense. Amen? That's so cool. All right. Next time you pray for someone and you ask for help for them, you need to believe. You need to believe that God's going to do something, because at that moment, if God has heard you, he is sending help at that very moment. The Bible says in Matthew 21:22, it says, when you pray, believe. I think that's a strong challenge to us. That the moment that you're praying and you've been humbled and you're inviting God in the situation, you need to believe like an Air Force. God is moving in on that situation and going to do something. Amen. Believe that. All right. Here's our questions. Told you there was a test. Here we go. Number one. What do Christians need more than the things that they need? To be heard. or to pray. Let me just make sure I got it right. Yes. Christians need prayer, whether they are praying or whether they need or prayer by other believers. Do you pray every day? Do you pray your 10 minutes, 15 minutes every day? Do you know what? If you miss a day, maybe get too busy, maybe get backslidden, wouldn't you like to know somebody prayed for you? Stab, stab. Secondly, what does prayer always do? I give you four things. What does prayer always do? One of them. It humbles us. What else does it do? It gets us in God's will. Good. It invites God into the situation, into the trouble, doesn't it? And it activates God's will. Why? Who do people usually expect to pray for them? The preacher. The preacher's wife. A priest. A holy man. A guru. But who is supposed to be praying for other believers? Every other believer. Amen. Wouldn't it be cool if there was more than one person praying for the people in this room? What if there was such a spiritual spaghetti going on of prayers going back and forth, praying over and praying for each other? I think the devil would be very frustrated. Amen. I love ruining his day. The most important, here we are, the most important goal of prayer is to be heard. I hope you never forget that. Name something that blocks God from hearing us. Sin. Name one. Pride. Anger. Bitterness. Resentment. Unforgiveness. What else? Laziness. What about loving the world? See, I got a good attitude. I love my girlfriend. I love my boyfriend. You listening, Ruth? I love my new car. I got a good attitude. You know, we talk about a lot of bad attitudes, you know, resentment and all those other things. But you know, if you're loving the world, the Lord will not hear you. Nothing wrong with having a girlfriend, boyfriend, and you ought to love them, amen. But if that love is greater than your love for God, it becomes an idol. A few more. When God is allowing a Christian to go through a valley, what should we pray for? Here's your test. Yeah. Amen? Strength. We say, Lord, get him out of that trouble. That's a nice thing to pray, but David said, God doesn't swoop in and usually pull us out of trouble. Pray for strength and help. Why should we pray that God would accept a believer's sacrificial efforts? Remember? Yes. Good, because sometimes we do it, but we didn't want to do it. It's kind of like taking out the rubbish. Your dad says, do it, and you go, I don't want to. But you do it anyway, right? And if you want a blessing, somebody needs to pray, dear God, go ahead and accept his sacrifice of effort taking out the rubbish. Amen. But when we should pray that all of the efforts of everybody, and this church puts out a lot of effort. You know, you guys are so crazy. You're not working to get saved, are you? And a lot of people think that because they're saved, they don't have to do any work at all now that they're saved. But I've seen in this church such a zeal and a desire to work and sacrifice. But not everybody has the best attitude, so pray for each other that God accepts our efforts anyway. Amen? Another thing, when God is not answering your prayers, maybe it might be because why? Now, this is not in reference to sin in your life. It may be one other reason. God's will is possibly not what I said, though. You're not praying for others. God may just sit back and wait for you to cop onto the fact that you're very selfish. And you're not worried about anybody else's trial. Amen. So he's just going to let you just wallow in that struggle, run around until you start to look and go, man, they're having a bad time. I better pray for them. And then the Lord answers your request. Isn't it funny? I would have taken you to Job. Job is sitting on an ash heap for weeks. And he was stuck there. And his friends were the worst kind of friends you could ever have. All they did was he said, I know what's wrong with you. And it killed Job. But you know, it said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job, changed his life, fixed the situation, when he prayed for his friends. So when you actually start worrying about other people and stop focusing on your own requests. 9:10. What are we told to fly high during a battle? Our banner. Man, let's stay encouraged. Let's not go out of here going, I'm a secret Christian. I keep the little earphone. You know, yes, I got a micro Bible with me today. You know, these, I don't have my iPhone. An iPhone is not a Bible.
That's right.
Eric. Your iPad is not, I know. This world needs to see a blessed old book. Amen. Amen. Take it to work with you. It's like a bomb going off. Just sit it right on the table. Nobody's going to show a dirty picture around you. Nobody's going to tell an off joke to you if they see that book on your desk. Amen. Fly your flag high. Number 11. Instead of chariots and fast horses, what do Bible believers believe in and trust in? In the name of the Lord our God. It's over too quick. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.